accuser's mother, Tom had said from the get-go, was our best witness. She's the type of person that will sort of change her story midstream. She will always make her story fit the facts instead of the facts fitting the story. And we knew that once she got cornered on the stand, that she would alter her story. She would start to make things up. And that's exactly what she did.
In a trial full of strange moments, this may have been the strangest of all. The mother of the accused took the stand and laid out an astonishing charge, that there was a conspiracy to hold her family hostage at Neverland, a charge the jury never bought.
You know, if you listen to the testimony, you can pick out the inconsistencies and the untruths. That was kind of the biggest issue, I think, in the whole trial.
She was caught in so many lies and misstatements that it's then and there you could see the jurors saying, why should I believe this woman, and why should I believe a case that's based on this woman?
The mother claimed, among other things, that aids to Michael Jackson forced her to stay at Neverland. Surveillance video did in fact show that she was followed, and there was evidence that her calls were monitored. But mostly her testimony sounded far-fetched and paranoid, if not downright incredible.
She was just spinning the wildest stories that you have ever heard come out of a person's mouth, having to do with feeling that she was getting kidnapped, that her kids were going to disappear on a hot air balloon from Neverland, and that there were killers after her, and that she needed to appease the killers. And it was all kinds of crazy stuff was coming out of this woman's mouth, and Tom Mesereau wasn't objecting to anything. He was just letting her dig this hole deeper and deeper with each passing day. Then he went back in for his cross-examination, and he just pretty much destroyed her.
The real weakness that Mesereau pounded home is, you know, you left Neverland. You left three times. You left, and you kept coming back, and you were being held hostage. She had access to phones, and she never screamed out, hey, I'm being held hostage. Somebody help me.
Mesereau also grilled the mother about a settlement she won in a lawsuit she filed against the department store JCPenney. Mesereau implied the mother was trying to win money from the pop star, the way she had with the store. But that wasn't all. Mesereau also presented evidence that she'd lied in the JCPenney suit. Jackson's strongest defense, that the accuser and his family were lying con artists out for money, began to take shape.
For the defense, the accuser's mother was a dream come true. I mean, she was centerpiece, exhibit A. This is a family, den of thieves, grifters, out to shake down Michael Jackson.
The overall reaction, I think, was just not a trustworthy family. That there was just too much evidence of trying to get something from somebody else.
You got to give the defense credit for really having a strategy from day one. And their strategy was to deflect attention from Michael Jackson and put it right back on the accuser and his family, and to make the bad guy the accuser's mother. And she was an easy target to do that. I think the biggest mistake for the prosecution was believing the mother and designing their whole case around her testimony.
The prosecution wrapped up its case with one of its strongest witnesses, someone who it seemed would offer a damning indictment of Jackson, Debbie Rowe. The mother of his two children was waging a custody battle with the pop star over permission to see her children.
The prosecutor was salivating, saying, you know, look, if anybody hates Michael Jackson and will destroy him on the witness stand, it's going to be this woman. In fact, it turned out to be exactly the opposite. She was the best character witness Michael Jackson could hope for.
What did she say? Michael Jackson's a wonderful person and a great father. That was the day the defense case officially began, and the rug was pulled out from under the prosecution, and the entire conspiracy theory seemed to just cave in on itself.
The general impression when the prosecution was done with their case was that they were basically struggling. I don't think anyone thought there was going to be a conviction at that point. They hadn't really proven their case.
Finally, after a disastrous 9 weeks of prosecution testimony, the defense found itself in the hot seat.
The suspicion going into this case seemed to be that this was Michael Jackson's case to lose.
They thought, I think, that they were playing with house money. They thought that they were ahead of the game.
But the defense, with its all-star cast of witnesses, would make its own mistakes.
The cardinal rule in trials is to under-promise and over-deliver. But in this instance, I think Tom Mesereau made the cardinal sin of over-promising in several very key areas, under-delivering.
At one point, the defense seemed to deliver too much, taking the jury uncomfortably close to the mysterious world of Michael Jackson's sexual appetites.
Pictures of naked boys, pictures of people in bondage, and basically brought it out and said, what do you think of a man who has pictures like these? Would you leave your kids with this person?